you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel as we go through the book of Daniel, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. With this incursion by Nebuchadnezzar, an important prophetic time period, the time of the Gentiles, started. Some would say that once Israel became a nation, it was no longer the time of the Gentiles. That was the fulfillment of the time of the Gentiles. But that's not so. Right now, Israel has not claimed the whole land that God has given them to. And in the tribulation period, it'll be taken from them again. So they still will be under the power of the Gentiles. This is the extended period of time which the land given in the covenant by God to Abraham and his descendants is occupied by Gentile power, and the Davidic throne is empty of its rightful heir in the Davidic timeline. So the time of the Gentiles, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of Jerusalem in 605 BC, will continue till the Messiah returns. Then Christ will subdue the nations, deliver the hand of Israel from its Gentile power, and bring the nation of Israel into the covenant relationship, the covenant blessing, which will be in the millennial kingdom. It is not now. Israel owns a little speck of the land that actually God gave them. And they will once again lose that power in the tribulation period. So they will be in the time of the Gentiles until the millennial period, till Christ comes again. We spoke last week, I left off in chapter 1, verse 8. So Nebuchadnezzar, his guy is shown all the riches of the temple, and they come back and they seize it all, and he takes the people. Now they're in the captivity, and he takes these four young men, he changes their names. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Why did he not want to eat the king's food and the king's wine? He did not want to defile himself. Most likely these things were set up before for sacrifices. He wanted to keep a clear head and not drink the wine. He did not want to defile himself as a Jew. His faith was tested. How many went through a test this week on their faith? How many went through a test this morning on their faith? Yes, of course you did. Somehow or another, you were tested. Are you going to think the right thing? Are you going to do the right thing? Right? Are you going to say the right thing? As a man and a woman of God, right? You've been tested. What does it mean to be tested? Well, we got some fishermen in here. If you have a 10-pound tested line, that means somebody at some point put a 10-pound weight at the bottom of that and held that line up. If you put another ounce upon that 10-pound test, it's going to break. It's rated for 10 pounds. And so God tests us, does not tempt us, but he tests our faith. Do we say something on Sunday and believe it on Monday when we go to work? Do we profess something on Sunday and show it to the people around us when we go to work the next day? Is our life an example of a man or a woman of God? I just spent some time up in the office with Andrew. Andrew was doing the crossing guard work for a season now, and he has touched so many lives of the kids. He was just sharing with me that the policeman shook his hand and said, "It was a pleasure working with you." That never happens. He has kids that couldn't wait to see him every day. Why? Because of what he did, not just what he said. And there's so many people saying a lot, but there's not that many people doing a lot. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. This young man, Daniel, shows us how we can live in an environment that's ungodly. We're there today, right? We're living in a world that's ungodly. Some of us live in a world that's ungodly, work in a place that's ungodly, live in a neighborhood that's ungodly, right? Everything around us is anti-God, some way or another, right? How do we live in this environment? He told us in verse 8, he purposed it in his heart not to defile himself in this ungodly world. Now, he specifically says what, but we have the option to do the same things, don't we? Not to defile ourselves, purpose in our heart to serve the Lord, to honor God, to love others as Christ has loved us. Edmund Hillary says, it is not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves. Isn't that true? We want to do so many great things for God, right? We want to move mountains, but yet we can't control ourselves sometimes. He says the tongue is so wicked. It's so small, right? Like an udder of a ship, a rudder of a ship, it could move the mighty ship. It's not the mountains we conquer, but ourselves. And the world needs men and women like Daniel, like you and like me, who have purposed in our hearts to serve the Lord, to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the works of the Lord. Listen, things get difficult sometimes. Galatians 6:9 is a verse that I live on as a pastor. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. How often we want to say, you know what? Listen, it could be easier if we closed the doors and went somewhere else, right? You ever feel that way? It's always too soon to quit. Everything around you that's not of God wants you to quit, wants you to give up, wants you to surrender, wants you to compromise. He had the opportunity. Hey, look, God, you sent me into this captivity, right? You put me in this land, and this is how they eat, and this is how they drink. What do you want me to do, God? He shows us as an example. He purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And that no matter what he did, he was going to do his best for God. And I love, as we go through this, you're going to see the Lord's hand in his life. The world needs men and women who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character before wealth, who possess opinions and will, who are larger than our vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who do not lose their individuality in a crowd. Listen, everything around us wants to change us, right? Wants us to conform to the ways of the world, right? Conform to the people around you. Can you imagine the pressure in our colleges today? We see it in the political realm, how much pressure there is against one side or against the other. But it's even more there for the Christians and those of the faith to conform and not to speak out about the truth of the Lord. We need men and women who will be honest in small things as in great things as well, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires. Once again, we're not moving mountains, we're conquering ourselves. Who will not say that they did it because everyone else did it, right? Who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as in prosperity. Who do not believe the shrewdness, cunning, and hardness are the best qualities of a winning success, because that's what the world teaches us, right? Who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it's unpopular, who can say no with emphasis, although the rest of the world says yes. So listen, like Daniel, let us too purpose in our hearts to glorify God in all that we do, no matter what. Amen? Let's do that tonight. These are not just words I'm reading to you. I mean that. Let's purpose that in our heart as saved believers of Jesus Christ, that we're going to commit to do what's right all the time. That no matter what the world and things around us are trying to influence us to do, we have already purposed in our heart. So write this date in your Bible that we've made another commitment. Well, we may have done it before, but we're going to do it again tonight. We're going to purpose in our heart to do right. Daniel gives us the example to follow, verse 9 and 10. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are of your age. Then you would endanger my head before the king. So here, the chief of the eunuchs who is over Daniel is saying, listen, they've already provided your nourishment. If you don't eat this stuff, you guys are going to look bad, and it's going to be my head, right? But Ephesians 3:20 tells us, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. You cannot outgive God. These men gave themselves wholeheartedly to God, and what happened? They found favor with both God and man. We can't lose. We cannot lose. Purpose in your heart to do the right thing. When this little boy gave his lunch to Jesus, he saw Jesus feed 5,000 people. When the widow gave her last bit of meal and oil to Elisha, she never lacked again. One of the greatest lies of Satan is to try to get people to think that if we serve God, then we will be unpopular and continuously ostracized. But that's not necessarily true. There is persecution, certainly. But here are some young men who chose not to give in to the pressures of their world, and they found favor with God and man. I love that. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Let the Lord show his hand in your life and give him praise. Let the Lord show you that his hand was in it as he gives us favor to things around us because we've committed in our heart. So Daniel said in verse 11 to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Meshach, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portions of the king's delicacies, and you will see fit. So deal with your servants. So he consented with them in the matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skills in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So these four men were prepared by Nebuchadnezzar for positions of responsibility in the royal court, where actually they were being prepared by God. It was God who gave them knowledge and understanding and to be able to understand visions and dreams. You understand that? It was God doing it. They're in captivity. This certainly wasn't their plan, right? They didn't sign up for this, but this is what happened. It was in God's plan that these things would happen, and God showed them favor. God showed them favor. So many times in our lives, we may go through a tough situation, and we may spend most of that time wondering why, instead of purposing in our hearts, Lord, okay, we're here, what do you want us to do? Right? So often we're questioning and we're asking all our friends, hey, what's going on? I don't understand this. And God has specifically put us in that position. We don't know why, but he knows why. Right, Tony? But it's so good to know that God is sovereign. Listen, he's in total control of our lives. They were put into captivity for a purpose. This man, Daniel, is being used by God for a purpose. And something may happen in your life, good, bad, or indifferent. God's still in control. He's still sovereign. And there is a plan and a purpose. Sometimes we see it here, this side of eternity. Sometimes we won't see it till we get over there. We just had a festival in Fresno, California. Thousands of people came to Christ at the festival. But there were many more outside of the festival where people were talking in coffee shops. There was a Hindu priest who got saved. His granddaughter had a vision of Jesus. And she ran to a pastor's house down the street. And she asked the pastor all about Jesus. The granddaughter gets saved and then goes tells her grandfather, a Hindu priest. He comes to the festival. No, he came to the men's lunch. It wasn't even the festival yet. He came to the men's lunch and he got saved. This man influences a lot of people, right? He influences a lot of people. Now, we don't know right now how many people this man is going to influence by the message that Luis gave him. But God knows. And so you may have loved on someone, knocked on their heart, shown a young boy a fatherly figure that he never had before. He will never forget that. And you may never see the fruit of that, but God knows it. This side of eternity, we'll see it on the other side for sure. But God is in control. God is sovereign. Sometimes we don't understand, but there's a plan and there's a purpose. Amen? So I had an uncle who was a contractor when I was a teenager. And during the summer, we were looking for jobs. And my cousin was just a year younger than me as well, so we're close to the same age. And we go work for my uncle during the summer. And we go to the construction site, and he would be building apartment complexes, and there'd be a two-story pile of trash over here next to the dumpster. Now, it wasn't in the dumpster. It was next to the dumpster. My uncle would have me and my cousin move that two-story pile of trash to the other side of the complex and make another two-story pile of trash. So it'd take the whole summer to do this, and we go back and we'd say, hey, we finished. He's like, all right, move it back. And I used to get mad. Like, we spent the whole summer moving it. Now you want us to move it back? This is so stupid, right? This is what I'm thinking as a kid. And then I got old and I realized he didn't need us to move. He was giving us a job. He was teaching us to work and labor and things like that. I didn't know it then. I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. I was too immature to see that he loved us and he was giving us a job. He didn't have to do any of that. He could have threw it all in the dumpster and had it taken away. Isn't that funny? So one afternoon, I'm up in the second story of the building, and my cousin's downstairs, and there's some frogs upstairs, and I'm throwing the frogs at him, right? And my uncle comes out of the trailer, the construction trailer, with the inspector. He doesn't see me up there. He just sees his son picking up the frogs and throwing them back up through the window, and he got yelled at. It was a funny scene. You should have been there. But sometimes we don't know. We don't understand why. We don't have it all. We don't have the whole picture. How much do we know? But God knows. And listen, he wants us to turn to him. So often we're turning to everyone but God. He's the last one we go to. Did you pray? Oh, no, not yet. How many people did you talk to? Oh, I talked to this guy. Go to God, right? He's orchestrating your life. He's writing every chapter. What are you talking to me for, right? Go talk to God first, and then we'll pray together, right? So, again, God gave them this knowledge and understanding. Knowledge. It has to do with reasoning skills and thought process. This is from God, right? Reasoning skills and thought process. They were able to think things through clearly and logically in their situation. That comes from the Lord to give us knowledge, right? So we can clearly think things through. Understanding has to do with insight. Their ability to discern the nature of things clearly and to interpret things in a true light by divine enablement and through his many years of instruction under able teachers, Daniel gained a wide knowledge of many things. I've had several people walk with me for a very brief season because they didn't want to learn anything. You couldn't tell them anything. Never been a senior pastor, never counseled anybody, but they want to run off and be a pastor somewhere. But wait a minute, there's so much you don't know. There's so much you got to learn. And you can't tell him anything. And, you know, there's no fruit in that walking away from what the Lord had planned for you because you've walked away from the resource he wanted to provide for you, right? We need to be teachable. We're always learning. We're always watching. Very often I'm very quiet when I'm out with people. I'm observing, I'm listening, I'm learning, especially people in higher positions than I, right? I'm learning. I want to see what does this guy talk? How does he handle a situation like this? What does he say? What does she think about this? Be still, be quiet, and we can learn something, right? I told you many times a story about my neighbor. I was so impatient and didn't want to sit and listen to him. But when I did, I began to absorb so much information. God wants us to learn. He's put people around us to learn from, right? There's areas in your life that I've never been in. I don't know. And there's areas in my life you have no idea, right? So we can learn off one another. It's not that because I'm at the pulpit, I'm up here, and you're down here. We're like this, right? Remember, at the cross, we're at the cross. Positionally in the church, it's different, but we're all equal, men and women, right? We respect one another. But God is the one who gives us favor. I have underlined that in my book, and I would ask you to do that in verse 17. God gave. God gave. Who was it? It was God. Who gave you your wealth? God. Who gave you your opportunity to make money? Oh, you know, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. God opened up those doors of opportunity for you. Right? It was the Lord's hand in your life. I have a nephew who's been very successful in the yachting business. He owns a yachting management company. As a very young man, he was captaining for Bertram Boats and all these big shots in the yachting industries as a young man. And everybody liked him, and he began to grow, and his reputation got out there. He's very successful now. And I told him one time, listen, there has been many people who have done exactly what you have done. But God has shown you favor. Don't think it's you. You may be skilled, but those skills he gave you, right? Give God the glory in everything. Because what do we have, right? What can we do apart from the Lord? We can do nothing on the spiritual end. And even on the physical too. If God doesn't open up the door, then it's not going to happen, right? We build the house in vain. And so it was the Lord's hand on Daniel's life. Now, verse 18 through 20. At the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These are the names before they were changed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Therefore, they served before the king. And all the matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them, listen, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. They call those the wise men, right? Those were the wise men. He found them 10 times better. Why? Because the Lord showed them favor. The Lord had a plan and a purpose for them. And we're going to see some amazing things as we go through this book. How the Lord was with them. Listen. He didn't save them from the lion's den. He was in there with them. Okay? I'm going to use that on Sunday, Easter Sunday. But listen, you may be in a lion's den. God didn't forget you. He's in there with you. He's not saving you from it. Why? Because he wants to show you the power that he has. That's awesome, right? So when you find yourself in situations, you might not like it. God has a plan and a purpose. 10 times better than those around him. He stood out from those among him. Why? He purposed in his heart to honor the Lord. And God honored him. It was a heart condition, wasn't it? Where did he purpose in? His heart. You can be doing great things. If your heart is wrong, it doesn't matter. They're worthless things you're doing. You'll see all through the Old Testament, it speaks of them coming, bringing offerings with the wrong heart. He says, I didn't even hear your prayers. You're wasting my time, paraphrasing it. Because those are just works. He's concerned about our hearts. He purposed in his heart. And verse 21, thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So Daniel's ministry in the royal court of Babylon continued until the overthrow of the Babylonian Empire by Cyrus in 539 BC. God had said, if you're taking notes, 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me, I will honor. That's a promise from God. Are we honoring the Lord? How do we honor the Lord? By doing what he says. Purpose in our heart and loving others as Christ has loved us. That's the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love the Lord God with your whole heart, body, soul, and spirit. And who? Your neighbor as yourself. How do we serve and love the Lord? By serving and loving other peoples with a pure and contrite heart. So we've had already purposed in our heart now to honor the Lord with our lives. Love on people. That's what they're missing. Listen, everybody's telling them what they're doing wrong. If God brings a non-believer in your path, he didn't bring you there to tell him everything he's doing wrong. He knows he's doing wrong. He can't help himself, right? How many didn't know they were sinning? We knew we were sinning. We even liked it. But we couldn't stop. We had no control, right? It was body, soul, and spirit. But then when we got saved, God turned it upside down. Now it's spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is in control, right? So now we have control. What people are not hearing is the love of Christ, because that is what Scripture tells us, compels them to what? To repent. To turn from their sins and turn to God. Speak to people about the love of God. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Hey, listen, I used to be there. I used to go to those places. I used to say those words, but I was misery. And now I have a plan, a purpose in my life, because the Lord has shown me now what I'm going to be doing. And I have purposed in my heart to honor him and not defile myself with the things of the world. I told the story before when my brother was getting married. I had just gotten saved shortly before that, and he was having a bachelor party, and I said, I'm not going. And I got all these calls from relatives and friends. What do you mean you're not going, bro? This is your brother. I'm not going. God took me out of that realm, and I'm not going back in there. So I didn't go. How was I able not to do that? Power of the Holy Spirit, right? I was in love with the Lord, and it was communion with God. So a couple years later, he gets saved. And he says to me, it was never anything that you did, it's what, or not everything you said, it was never anything you said, but it's what you did that showed me it was real. So you see, if you're not doing it, it's not real. If it's not real to you, why am I going to do it? Why are the people around you going to want to do what you're doing if you don't think it's real? You're just talking all this love and all this stuff, but you're not doing nothing, right? It's not real. If it's real to you, you live it, right? If Christ's love is in you, you're going to live that love out to other people, right? He says, work out your salvation. Work out what God has put in you. Love others as he's loved us. Let them know that people care for them, because that's what they don't have. Some of the message that Luis gave was those who are fatherless. His father died when he was 10 years old. And, you know, he never understood why the Lord, you know, as a kid, why the Lord took his father away from him at such a young age. He got saved at an early age as well, and the Lord began to show him the love of the Heavenly Father. But there's so many people in the world today, when we look at, you know, the divorce rate and all the things that are happening and the childless, fatherless children that are out there, they don't know that relationship, that love relationship that should happen. So you can do that now. You can show them what a godly man looks like. You're not their father, but you can be an example. Hey, this is what they should look like. We can do that today. How do we do it? We purpose in our hearts not to be defiled by the world around us. God has plans for this man, Daniel, and they're very significant. As we go through the book of Revelation, we will see that the things that are spoken of in the book of Daniel will happen in the end times. Some of these things have happened, and some of them are prophetic, will happen at a later date. And we will go through these things. We will talk about them in great detail. But as we see in the beginning, Daniel was a man of God, purposed in his heart. And God now shows him favor with those around him. He determined to honor God, even though he was living in an extremely foreign environment outside of what God had demanded. And God honored his obedience and prompted him to the king's court. That's amazing. These events would have reminded Israel that obedience brings blessing and that righteousness is the prerequisite for enjoying this covenant blessing. Now, what's the difference between that and today? It's a new covenant, right? He's not blessing you if you're being good and punishing you if you're being bad, is he? You weren't punished for the sins you've done. He's not punishing. It's a new covenant. It's based upon his faithfulness and obedience to the Father. So he's not punishing us right now for our sins. He will never punish us for our sins if we're a believer. But those who do not believe will be punished eternally for their sins, right? But Daniel's a picture to the nation of Israel of what the covenant blessing that they had at that time looked like. It was based upon their obedience and their commitment to the Lord. And Daniel had a long, successful career in this the worst of circumstances. He worked in the tyrants who thought nothing of killing their staff and advisors, much less than firing them. His employer suffered the worst kind of hostile takeover. The Medo-Persians empire conquered the Babylonians empire. The seeds of the great success are evident in the very first chapter in the book of Daniel. So sometimes our life doesn't work out the way we plan, right? God had other plans for us. Daniel and his friends show us that, listen, inner conviction can overcome any outer pressure. And I don't care how old you are. We're tempted at every level and every age. Okay? Is that right or wrong? Amen. Oh, absolutely. And I don't care how long you've been a believer and how many verses you can quote. You are still a sinner saved by grace. And you still will be tempted by Satan. But for God, his Spirit is a guarantee and a seal of our inheritance, that we are his children. And so God has done what we could never do for ourselves. And that honoring God's convictions yields God-given rewards. Listen, God wants us to show the world that he loves them. If we're not engaged in the world, they're never going to see it, right? So I'm not saying, listen, run out to a strip club tonight and start giving the gospel. I'm not saying that at all, because you may be tempted. But you're living in a worldly environment no matter where you are. Wherever you are, show the love of Christ. Because people then are going to want to know, there's something different about you. What's the difference about the Christian and the people of the world? We're supposed to live joyful and have loving hearts, right? We're supposed to shine. Well, this is what the nation of Israel was supposed to do. And the world was supposed to look at them and say, oh, we want what you have. But they failed. That's why the light and salvation came to the Gentile world. Now we are supposed to show the world what it looks like to be a Christian and that our lives would point them to the Father.